96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Doctors Hospital, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Papa Joe's Cafe, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm so glad that you could join us today. If you want to give us a call at any point during the course of this show, you can give us a call on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. I'm sorry, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on B612. For the first part of this show, we're going to continue our discussion with Doctors Hospital, focusing as they have been with us for a little bit on men's health. And we have the privilege of having with us Dr. Ilsa Grant Taylor. And guess what? You guys have like a great opportunity here because Dr. Grant Taylor prefers to take calls and hear from you whatever questions you have. Welcome to the show, Dr. Taylor. I have something in my environment that's tickling my throat. So, you prefer not to? Anyway, you'll be fine, Dr. Taylor. Welcome to the show. You have to unmute for us, please.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good, and yourself?
I am fine, thanks.
Super. Tell me what your specialty is, Dr. Taylor.
Okay, so I am a consultant physician in internal medicine and nephrology. So I'm a specialist and a subspecialist.
Okay, and nephrology has to do with?
The kidneys.
Yeah, those two organs that sometimes just sit around and we don't pay as much attention to it as we need to, and then something happens and life takes a not so good turn.
You've described what happens with most of my patients to a T.
Mm. Now, before we get into the kidneys for a bit, for instance, internal medicine, I hear this a lot. We hear somebody's an internal medicine specialist or internal, their area of concentration, internal medicine. What does that mean exactly?
That's a very good question. So I didn't know what it meant until I started studying medicine. Right. It really is adult medicine. There's no pediatrics. There's no obstetrics and gynecology. There's also no surgery. So it's just medicine, all types of medicine for adults. And so it's split up into subspecialties. So you'll have a general internist, then you'll have a gastroenterologist who takes care of the bowel things. You'll have a hepatologist who will take care of things with the liver. You'll have a nephrologist like myself who takes care of things with the kidney. You'll have a neurologist who deals with the nerves. You'll have a pulmonologist who deals with things with the lungs. You have a cardiologist who deals with the heart. You have a rheumatologist who deals with diseases that have to do with the joints and the bones. And so then you have an oncologist who deals with cancers. And a hematologist who deal with blood issues. Okay. So those are the kind of most common subspecialties in internal medicine. But in order to get to those subspecialties, you have to be qualified as a general internist.
I see.
And then you do your subspecialty.
Why do children have a specialty in medicine if we basically have the same biological makeup? We just happen to be adults. Why is that necessary?
Oh, I'm happy you asked that one too. Children and adults are very different.
Okay.
Because remember, children are growing and then they hit puberty and they go through their adolescence and then they become adults. So all of the illnesses and conditions that children go through can often be very different than what adults go through because the way their bodies are changing.
I see.
So pediatric conditions and adult conditions can often be very different.
Okay. And so it's a big deal that there are those who specialize in medicine for children because of those changes, because they are focused on some particularities related to this dynamic situation children are going through.
Well said. You display perfect understanding of that.
Well, I never knew. I wondered it for a long while. But now I know. Now you understand. And then that's what I try to achieve on this show, is to help people understand, help myself understand, so that we don't talk in ignorance.
Right. So we can take something like the heart. So we have a pediatric cardiologist in country and an adult cardiologist. And what also happens is pediatric doctors and pediatric patients get very attached. And so you would think that once a child goes through adolescence, you know, at about the age of 15 or 16, they may want to go to an adult doctor. But sometimes it's tough for them to break that relationship. And sometimes pediatric patients don't go to the adult doctor until they are about 26, 27.
Have you heard of the, it's a Netflix series called The Resident?
I have not.
Okay. It's about a hospital and all that happens around the hospital. And I was watching one episode where a child had a heart issue. Not a child. This was actually a newly born baby. And all of these very top adult surgeons said they wouldn't touch this. They needed this pediatric surgeon to do this. And that just speaks to your point, right?
It does. It does.
So we have we've been talking about men's health with doctors, hospitals, specialists for a little bit now. There is always this peculiar issue with us men in that far too often things don't get discovered with us, whatever it is, whether it's some arthritic issue or some neurological issue or some oncological issue or something until it's far advanced, because we ain't going to the doctor.
Correct.
Right? We're not.
That is the phenomenon. You're absolutely correct.
And everybody speaks to it. So I want to hear your take on why you think it is that men are just not getting, well, not too many men are not getting in the habit of regular checkups, going to the doctor when something manifests so that they can catch it early. What do you think?
I think in our culture, Mr. Lang, we have grown up with the understanding is you go to the doctor when something is wrong. And so for most illnesses, you don't feel bad. And so people only go to see a healthcare provider when something is wrong. By then, the horse is way out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And I think men are more so in that boat than women, because women learn to go to the physician when they're feeling all right, usually when they're having babies. So they're not feeling bad, but they know they're supposed to follow with their obstetrician. And so women have the habit of going for a checkup or just a plain evaluation and not going because they're feeling sick. And in my experience, that is where the nidus of all of this. People go to the doctor when they don't feel well in the main.
How about this one? So I was talking to a fellow who does some work for me yesterday. He said he hurt his back. He said, but he don't know how he did it, but he know it. He could hardly walk. He could hardly do this. He said to me, it's been a few days now. He said, but I can wait and see. Wait and see, you know, because it might clear up in the next 2 days. We can't walk. There's a man. So men learn. We learn, man, use a man. You can just find this out, man. And so sometimes we wait too late, right? And that's the conversation I was having with him. I say, well, bro, you know, you might need to check that out sooner rather than later, you know.
Yeah, that is a big issue. That is a big issue. And it's just education to try and get it sorted out.
Yeah, my mother used to tell, she still does, and tell people, say, she said, oh boy, if he have a little prick again at the hospital, I say, you got that right. Because I don't know, and I can find out. And so I've always been one of those persons who believes, you know, sooner rather than later. Unfortunately for me, that behavior helped me to deal with a prostate cancer diagnosis last year and having caught it early, because I didn't have any symptoms. I just had my regular checkups that led to some markers going out of whack, and then the necessary biopsy, and then the diagnosis. And I, to this day, I can't tell people what it feels like to have a symptom related to prostate cancer.
Right. And that is the story we want over and repeatedly. Because when you hear that story, you also hear it with the word cure.
Mm-hmm.
I was cured of prostate cancer. And so, you know, over and over again, you hear this thing, early diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So when you have an early diagnosis, it's usually when you don't have any symptoms.
Right.
Get your treatment. You get a cure. And for, I would say, more than 80% of the time, that cancer doesn't come back. Mm-hmm. That has been cured. Mm-hmm. But we have to really move our whole society towards the idea of prevention or early diagnosis. And that comes from screening, which comes from having regular checkups.
Mm-hmm. Because we are seeing some really painful and uncomfortable years in our adult population later on in life, like you're turning, even these days, you could be just mid-50s, but you're turning 60, 70. And we are seeing the manifestation of not going in early, not having regular checkups. We are seeing the manifestation of what that does when you don't address maybe some chronic issues or other issues early.
Correct. You're absolutely correct. And as I have learned and seen, midlife is really 40. That's the middle of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to midlife, that is when things start to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with the eyes. Everybody, by the time they're 40, they got to kind of keep moving the book back and forth or go to the store and buy readers.
Say and amen.
That kinds of thing.
Say so amen.
At 40 is when you start to notice
mm-hmm.
the age-related changes.
Mm.
And that's when it's critical to start focusing on your health and and your wellness, you know, just going to make sure that you are well.
And you know, it's interesting you should say that because many of us at 40 still think, you know, I'm young and I'm vibrant and so forth, and outside of the little side issue, you know, everything is everything. But when I was 30-something, a doctor who was speaking at a seminar or something that I attended said, when you turn 40, this is what he said then, this was long back then. He said, when you turn 40, every year thereafter, you should have an annual physical, every single year. And I did that. I followed that. And I keep telling men that that is the principal reason I caught my cancer early.
Right. I think that's good advice, but I think better advice is that you never should stop. You know, when you're a child, your parents take you to the pediatrician regularly, you know, just before school starts, you have that school physical. I don't think that should ever stop.
Mind you, and I agree with you 100%. Especially, I mean, with all aspects of our health, hey, because whether it's your teeth or your eyes or your ears or the rest of your body, you really should be doing that on an ongoing basis. And far too often, we neglect these children and their health because we say, man, you're young, ain't nothing wrong with you.
Correct. That is true. And in my observation, the biggest issue with our young children are weight-related issues.
Mm.
And I think that if children were being weighed and, you know, they were being, you know, there are graphs that we use. And if the children and their parents say, you know, this child is overweight according to this graph, people would be more mindful of it and they would action it more. Also, I think when you go to see your physician, you learn about healthy habits. And, you know, children are very, very receptive to hearing information and following good advice. So I think that it would help our whole society moving forward if younger children were to be more engaged with their healthcare providers.
Can you speak to this issue for me too? Because I find that we do better in terms of health if we do it as a family, because very often when a person in the family gets sick and has to make a change in their, say, diet or in their physical activity and so forth, they are so isolated that they struggle.
Absolutely correct. And that is a hurdle I think we can only overcome with education and mentoring and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so when a family member becomes ill or has some kind of health challenge, I think the healthcare providers should say, you know, this is good for everybody.
Mm.
And, you know, I think it should come from the healthcare providers that what the health challenge person is doing is good for the whole flock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that we as healthcare providers could be more attuned to that. Mm. I think that's a very good starting point.
Dr. Roberts. Dr. Roberts, when he got my results, the prostate results, he says, now, you know, I don't talk to no one person in the family about this, you know. I just talk to the whole family together. And that's his posture, because he wants everyone to know what the situation is, what the implications are, what the options are, and what y'all need to do together to deal with what you have to deal with.
That is the best case scenario. That is what we all aim to do. But the other challenge that we have is there are times when people are very secretive about their health.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that's another cultural feature we have to overcome. Mm-hmm. We have to figure out how to stop people from being like that and letting people know, you know, that something is wrong, that they need help, and they just need support.
Mm-hmm.
No, they need support.
I know of a case where I'm still not sure to this day why a relatively young person decided it, but was diagnosed with, for instance, a cancer, and just decided not to do anything about it. But now one of the things too that it's a sensitive topic, Doc. But you know, sometimes we believe, I have to tell you, I find this in some of my close circles where you are now struggling with family members with faith versus medicine, science versus alternative, this and that. And now people are getting kind of confused into immobilization in some instances and just overkill in other instances.
Right. So I agree with you. I mean, that's a challenge as a healthcare provider we face. But let's go back to the scenario that you discussed when somebody found out they had a diagnosis and just did nothing. They didn't engage, anything like that. I think that happens because of the phenomena of only hearing bad news.
Mm.
People don't hear about the persons who have cancer who were cured. Mm. People who have cancer who 5-10 years later are living a normal life.
Mm.
They only hear about the person who was diagnosed and maybe got one chemo treatment and then died, or diagnosed and had the surgery and they got closed up and died. So I think if you're only hearing bad things, you assume that that's all that happens, and that is your course.
Mm-hmm.
I find that that may be a big part of it.
True, it's true. And I mean, I can't say cancer is a word. When you hear cancer, like you almost I'm gonna die. that's how it is treated in the media. How it is treated in so many circles, because as you say. You're right. You don't know we don't hear about the millions and millions of people who are surviving, being cured of, living reasonable lives, dealing with cancer. Because all you hear, well, she died of cancer, he died of cancer, well, my uncle, my auntie died of cancer. And so when you hear that diagnosis, you're like, oh my God, what does this mean for me?
Correct. And that is to me, the reasoning and the psychology behind persons who just pine away. You know, like I said, they don't engage, they don't seek treatment, they don't speak about it. You know, they just, and then of course, when they get to the stage where they do interact with the healthcare system, it's too late.
Yeah, you know? And that is exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. It was just too late.
It's just too late.
Yeah. So
the other difficulty we have as healthcare practitioners is dealing with the persons who lean on their spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have difficulty working sometimes with people who follow the herbalists or the natural way.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes very difficult because persons who pursue that look at testimonials, not science, you know? the persons who are pushing this line will say, well, Mr. Jones and Mr. Smith and Mr. Johnson, we fixed them all. Mm-hmm. But that's not how science works. You know, science does, you know, the famous double-blinded placebo, you know, where they really do study the treatments. Mm-hmm. And they know that if you get this treatment, 90% of the time, you're going to get better. They're not showing you five people who got better. Mm. And you don't know even if those five people have the same thing you have. Mm-hmm. So it is trying to educate and counsel persons who have that mindset a big challenge.
It is. And I can tell you, it's a struggle. And you know, I have learned to some degree too that, like, you can only, you put information in front of people and you leave them. You have to leave them with an opportunity to find their own way to discover it, if that is possible for them. Because badgering them and trying to break them down, etc., isn't going to help. They kind of they tend to dig deeper into what it is, merely out of defensiveness.
All right.
And so you could only explain what you explain, and then hope that maybe in time they shall for themselves discover what it is. And I know that men sometimes can get stubbornly attached to a way of thinking, and that too can hinder their own pursuit of good health by going to see the people they need to see. And then you have, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but then you have people who say, man, when you go to the doctor and you find out, that's when it just gets worse.
Yeah, well, that is a phenomenon as well. But, you know, when you look at things objectively, we go back to what we originally talked about. By the time people seek healthcare practitioners, they're on a downward slope. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
So you know, whether they come to us or not,
it's getting worse. They just happened to come to you because they waited too long. And now, yeah, when you came to me, you are getting worse because you were already down that path.
Correct.
I never really even saw that that way. I can tell you that's the truth. I didn't see it that way.
Mr. Lang, I've been in this business almost 30 years.
Yes, ma'am.
So, yes, ma'am. You know, as they say, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's true because we have seen people who they get from all appearances, they was ill, but not bad. Then they get the diagnosis. They go in and get the confirmed diagnosis, and then they deteriorate. And next thing you know, they are dead. And you say, boy, that was quick. But the truth of the matter is, they had probably already reached point critical when they came to see the professional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'll share something with you that I always chuckle at.
Mm.
Persons swear that their loved one was great till they went to the hospital. So inside, deep inside, I want to say, well, why did they come to the hospital? They were great.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know? And you know what is scary to me, Doc? We're going to take a break in a little bit, but you know what is not, I can't say scary, but what I think about when that really prompts me to go to the doctor, I have no microscope or binoculars or x-ray to look inside myself. So I have billions of cells and nerves and stuff. I don't know what's going on. And to sit around just hoping, praying, thinking about it, it doesn't make sense when there are professionals, there are equipment, there are tools available to help me see inside myself to know better what's going on.
Yep. That is the message we want to send out today. You know, that if you engage with your healthcare provider, there are simple things we can do: blood tests, urine tests, ECGs, that can tell how things are going. Measuring your blood pressure, checking your sugar, simple things, you know, that may lead us to have to do more complicated things. Or may not. You may say, well, okay, well, we'll check again in a year. See if everything looks good.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're here with Dr. Ilse Grant Taylor. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Taylor. This is Doctors Hospital's emphasis on men's health. We'll be back after this break. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Your health just got brighter with Lamp Insured. Sign up for Doctors Hospital's Lamp Insurance Supplement Plan and enjoy copay waivers and complete access with no upfront ER or inpatient collections. Only $30 per month. Visit doctorshosp.com/lamp to sign up or contact 242-822-1009. That's 242-822-1009. Your journey to affordable and worry-free healthcare begins now.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Current Cut Productions presents Papa Joe's Cafe. Watch Joe, the cafe owner, grapple with the grief and chaos of daily life, surrounded by nosy cooks, a mouthy waitress, and a parade of lively characters. With themes of political satire, romance, and betrayal, this is a story you won't want to miss. Join us for an unforgettable stage play at the Performing Arts Center at UB on July 12th and 13th.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Real strength means taking care of your health. This man's health month. Visit Doctors Hospital for expert primary care and life-saving specialist visits. Schedule your screening today.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Red, join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9. FM. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259, or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are here with Dr. Ilse Grant Taylor, internal medicine and a nephrologist, and we're talking men's health with Doctors Hospital today. We have one text here, says, great show as usual. I'll ask Doc if sour soup can prevent cancer.
I have no idea.
Me neither. But I have heard good things about it.
It's a delicious fruit, and even better in ice cream.
And as a fruit made by God, certainly should be able to help you get some nutrition and minerals and stuff like that, like all the other fruits, if they're not filled with pesticides and other kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely.
I've taken eaten probably a watermelon every 2 days. I mean it, one watermelon practically every 2 days while they're in season. Seasoned watermelons. This text says, good afternoon. The resident is insightful and educational. Please watch all 6 seasons. I did. I watch it. I think a doctor would, well, I don't know. I think a doctor would really appreciate that show because of how it, I'm told that the doctors who watch the show think that it has a great deal of authenticity in respect of the medicine. And it has a lot of challenging cases and a lot of the politics around medicine, et cetera. And so that's what I found it so fascinating. I watched the whole thing. And when I was done, I felt like my family had left me. And so I wanted to go watch them again. Doc, the kidneys are structures that whenever I see them on a picture, they're beautiful organs. They sit there. What do these organs do?
Well, most people know the kidneys as the organs that regulate the fluid balance in the body and also help with detoxifying the body, because there are certain processes where the kidneys participate and the toxins are excreted via the urine. But the kidneys are also responsible for maintaining the blood count. They produce a hormone called erythropoietin that helps the body make red cells. They're also responsible for helping with bone health because they activate the vitamin D and help the body absorb calcium, and helps the body also use the calcium in its various processes. And of course, it helps maintain fluid balance. So if you notice sometimes when you're a little bit dehydrated, your urine will get a little bit darker. And when you're drinking enough fluid, your urine is a little lighter. So the kidney has many functions. It also helps with regulating blood pressure. So it's a multifaceted organ in the body. Many jobs.
Okay. And when they are not functioning or when they are running into problems, what are the symptoms that people see?
So we're going back to our initial point. By the time you see these symptoms, things are bad.
Okay.
So swelling of the ankles, swelling in the face. When people develop advanced kidney failure, they get very nauseous. They have a lot of eating. Some people say they smell like urine. Some people say their skin gets very dark. So those are things that the patient would feel. But what's more important is if you're going for that checkup, your doctor may notice that in your urine, you're spilling protein, which should not be there. Or you're spilling blood in your urine, which should not be there. Or there's a chemical called your creatinine that elevates. So a lot of the markers of early kidney failure are not, you feel fine. We're back to this I feel fine situation. But if your doctor does some basic testing, they will recognize that you're having early chronic kidney disease, which is the phrase that's being used now, CKD, chronic kidney disease. And this has 5 phases, 5 stages. And by the time you get to stage 5, it's time for dialysis or transplant. But most people I see as a nephrologist, I see at stage 3. you know, where they're kind of in the middle.
Okay.
So, yes, there's symptoms, but by the time you're seeing the symptoms, it's not going to be good news.
What is the swelling about? Why do the feet, what's the swelling? Why does that happen?
So it's a mechanical reason.
Mm-hmm.
When the body gets low on protein,
mm-hmm.
the protein acts like a magnet inside the blood vessels to keep the fluid in the vessels.
Mm.
So when you pass in the fluid out through your urine, you don't have enough protein, the fluid then seeps out at the lowest point. And when you think about it, your ankles are the lowest point in the body where the gravity has the most effect.
Mm.
And so the low protein from the protein loss causes the swelling. That's the most common, that's the easiest way to describe it.
Mm-hmm. And when we say people are in kidney failure, I mean, like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Okay. So let's, for the sake of simplicity, say that normal kidney function is 100%.
Right.
When you go into kidney failure, the kidney is working at less than 15%.
Okay.
So it cannot do the job it's supposed to do. It cannot clean out the toxins. It cannot help you with your fluid balance. It can't help you make blood cells. It cannot help you maintain your bone health. Your calcium goes low. Your potassium goes high. It causes all kinds of chemical imbalances when you're in kidney failure.
So and a person in... sorry, go ahead.
That's when the kidney's working at less than 15%.
Mm-hmm. And a person who goes into kidney failure, who does not get a transplant, who does not get dialysis, what happens?
The toxins will build more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to get very drowsy, very sleepy, and they will die.
Mm.
But they will be very sick before they die.
Mm. And the dialysis does what?
All the dialysis does is it replaces the job of the kidney.
Mm.
It cleans up the toxins and it helps remove the fluid because often when people get to kidney failure, they do not pass urine anymore. So whatever fluid they put in their body by drinking, the only way to get that fluid out is by dialysis.
Wow.
But that is all it does. It doesn't fix anything. It just replaces the function or some of the functions of the kidney.
And that process of dialysis for people, because we've had people on the show, we've talked about some failure of the kidney and people eventually ending up on dialysis. But dialysis, just can you briefly, if you can, describe the process of dialysis for us? Like what happens? See, I want people to know because
I know, but I don't want to. I want to do it in a way that's palatable on the radio.
Yes, please.
So there are two types of dialysis. Number one, there's one that's called peritoneal, that's not commonly done, and there's one that's called hemo. And hemo comes from the Latin heme, which means blood.
Right.
And so it is a process where the blood is actually circulated through an artificial kidney.
Okay.
And it's cleaned and it's returned to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the other process is where we put a fluid in and the fluid circulates around the blood vessels of the tummy. And then the toxins come out into that fluid and it's drained out. So both are processes that clean the blood to kind of keep it as simple as possible.
And this takes about how long for on average for people?
So if
and
you
how, and how often a week?
So for hemodialysis, we do it what we call in-center hemodialysis. So you go to a dialysis center, and you will go 3 times a week.
Okay.
For the duration. Until either you die or you get a transplant.
Right.
Or you decide that you no longer want dialysis.
And each session is how long?
It should be at least 4 hours.
Wow. 4 hours, 3 times a week. for the rest of your life.
Yes, that's one version. The mm-hmm. peritoneal dialysis, again, there are two types. There's one that's we call ambulatory, which is manual, where you do exchange the fluids four times a day, but every day. And there's one that's called cycler dialysis, where you hook up to a cycler, which is a machine that helps with the fluid exchanges, and you do that every night for about 10 hours a night. So there are lots of different forms.
But it's all for the failed kidney, it's all for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life, yeah.
Because only a transplant could get you out of that cycle.
Correct.
We have a text here that says, good afternoon. Great show as usual. Good afternoon to your guest, Dr. Grant. Good afternoon. How far are we as a country in implementing the kidney transplant program?
I am totally unable to answer that. There are two nephrologists who are transplant. They're actually transplant nephrologists, and they are definitely more have the capacity to work on that because that's their line. I can't answer that question.
Okay. And this person wants you to know, says, hi, Dr. Grant. This is your longtime male nurse, Des Mangles. I think I pronounced the name.
Yes, Des Mangles. Oh, I haven't seen him. And I think he's in Atlanta or Carolina. Oh, boy.
So any final words, Doc? We know you have to go. I mean, you're welcome to stay, but I know you have to go. So, any final words for our listeners?
Yeah, I'd just like to go back to our original theme, talking about wellness and getting those annual health checks for everybody, not just the baby, not just the school child, not just the teenager. Everybody should see a healthcare provider, a dentist, at least annually.
Mm-hmm. You heard it, guys. You heard it, ladies. We got to do what we got to do, man, because you know what I discovered? When you lose your health or when your health is compromised, like, you think about all the things you could have done to stop this from happening. But by that point, you're already in it, right? And so let's take heed. You know, they say, to know or not to do is not to know at all.
Makes a lot of sense.
Thank you so much, Doc. We appreciate you. You got to come back and spend some full time with us.
No problem. We'll make that arrangement.
Yes,
ma'am. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news when we come back. Got some stuff to talk about in the current. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Your health is your wealth. Prioritize this Men's Health Month at Doctors Hospital with comprehensive primary care and specialist screenings. Book your appointment now.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95. Including that, this Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. I look funny, all black up yesterday.
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you say.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. The Grand Bahama Port Authority is, first of all, let me say the Bahamas men's basketball team is doing rather well at the FIFA tournament, attempting to qualify for the Olympics, by the way. The DeAndre and Buddy and Franco and Play, I think, is on the team as well. And others, they are performing well, it seems. So we keep watching and see how that goes. But the Grand Bahama Port Authority is in news again with its back and forth with the government on some issues. And in this instance, according to the Nassau Guardian, an issue related to their ongoing fight with the government over who controls, who has regulatory responsibility for the utilities in the Freeport area. As you know, the Utilities Regulation and Competition Authority is the government's regulator of utilities in the country, having been established around the same time as BTC was privatized. Most people forget that. And now has responsibility. Before that, do you know who regulated, say, BEC before IRCA? You don't know? BEC? Huh. And BEC regulated energy production and stuff in the country before that. And BTC, or Patelco, regulated itself, right? And so forth. And so until IRCA, there was really no end quote third party regulator of these entities. In Freeport, which of course, as you know, is governed by the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, the Port Authority was and has been for the life of that agreement the regulator of utilities in the port area. Now, needless to say, there was an inherent conflict in that regulation in that it was also the operator of the utilities. You say, but oh, that's not fair. Well, the government did it for the longest time. The government owned BTC, owned BEC, owned Batelco and the Water and Sewage Corporation. And who regulated them? The government for the longest time. So they were no better than the Port Authority. So don't look at the port as some strange creature in that regard. It wasn't until the Ingham administration created IRCA that there became a third-party regulator of these entities, because before that, they all regulated themselves. So self-regulation wasn't a peculiarity to only the Port Authority. Well, when IRCA did come into force, the issue became one of does IRCA have regulatory responsibility for the utilities company in Freeport? Some people say automatically yes. The Port Authority does not say automatically yes. And the truth is, there is no reason to say automatically yes, that IRCA has that responsibility. There's none. Why? Because the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, which is now enshrined in law, doesn't say that the Grand Bahama Port Authority shall not be the regulator for utilities. It does not say that. Nor does it say it shall be the regulator. Doesn't say that either. But it does say that the Grand Bahama Port Authority shall have responsibility and control over the port project. So now you have to ask yourself the question, what is the port project? Does the port project include production of utilities and regulation of utilities? We don't know, because the port project isn't defined in law that way. So no wonder the matter is now before the courts. So the courts after that will now have to decide, but no one could say that IRCA is bar none the regulator, because the law doesn't give the port that right. No, but it doesn't say it shouldn't either. And so they might now, and this is why you have lawyers and this is why you have legal arguments, because now they might go file through all of the precedents and all of the other things related to matters like this and the Hawksbill Creek Agreement itself, and determine, you know, the port has been doing this for a long period of time, for instance, and therefore maybe on the grounds of reasonable expectation, they might have responsibility for saying. And so I'm saying it's not a foregone conclusion, and that's why it's a matter of law. Now, when the court settles it, it'll be settled. But it won't be settled simply because we say it is, right, or we think it is. Because in point of fact, the law does not prohibit the port from regulating utilities, and it doesn't authorize it to do so. So if the law then is silent, you say, what happened? Well, the government passed a law saying that IRCA shall have responsibility for the utilities, regulating utilities even in that area. Well, yeah, that doesn't mean that law doesn't contravene some other law, in particular, maybe some constitutional provision of the law, or maybe it also violates the contractual obligation which the government signed with the Port Authority, which may have some preeminence even over the law. Because you said, but the PLP didn't sign it, FNM didn't sign it, nothing to do with it. That's the government signed it. The government, right? The government. When you get hired under the PLP, the FNM comes into office, and I'm talking when you're on the permanent establishment, not when your contract expires and they don't want to renew it. But if you say get hired on the PP&E, on the PLP administration, when the FNM come in office, you don't say, oh, but you get hired under PLP administration. Can't say that. Similarly, if you get hired on an FNM administration, it doesn't work that way. It was the government that hired you, not the political party. They just happened to be the administration in office at the time. But insofar as the substance of law is concerned, you were hired by the government. The government signed the agreement. So you see now the Port Authority may still have some stake in these utility companies, but they are no longer the principal owners of them. So that argument about regulating at the same time as you own isn't a potent an argument, and it can't be potent. Does not the government still own 49% shares in BTC? Does not the government own BPL? Does not the government appoint ERCOT? So you can't argue those kinds of things when you are practicing and participating in the same procedure and principle as other people, right? What matters is what are the parameters for any regulator to regulate any utility and doing so in the best interest of the country. That's really the bottom line. Because the existence of the appearance of a conflict of interest, or even the existence of a conflict of interest, does not in and of itself mean that it will that conflict will manifest itself to the detriment of anyone, you know. We all have inherent conflicts every day in what we do. We all do. And we are still able to function in ways that does not cause that conflict to manifest to the detriment of others, right? Let me give you a basic, typical a conflict, inherent conflict. You are a person, and we understand that self-preservation is the primary aim of every person. Every person's primary aim is self-preservation, but you have a child. And there are times when what that child needs and what you need, or what that child wants and what you want, are in conflict. The conflict exists. Does that mean you're going to mistreat your child? No, it does not mean that, but the conflict does exist, which means the potential for that mistreatment exists. But very often we can rise and elevate ourselves to the point of overcoming that conflict. And that's where maturity and intelligence and reasoning comes into play. So the existence of a conflict does not in and of itself produce a wrong, or mean a wrong will occur. It just means that now the awareness of that conflict has to be managed in a way so as not to cause your primary interest to be overcome by some secondary interest. This text says, not sure if it's cultural. Kate Middleton didn't speak about her cancer. It was leaked to the press. It's unclear if anyone outside the prince knew. The U.S. Secretary of Defense had a whole operation scheduled and didn't tell anybody that he would be incapacitated. And the command and control has protocols for that. It may be a general human reluctance to reveal bad news about oneself on anything. That's true. That is true. I mean, to some people can be so unkind and so cruel that maybe sometimes saying what is going on with you might subject you to their cruelty. And so that's why we might be less inclined to say, you know. That's why we pretend almost every day like we never did a wrong. We don't have the issues in life. And, you know, we scared as hell for anybody to find out. You know, bro, you ain't perfect. Far from it. And even our governments get caught up in that, you know. You never do no wrong, man. Never did no wrong, never. Never made any mistakes. That was them. It says, my relative took Sarsop leaf tea whenever their blood pressure spiked. They took their BP readings every day. Yeah, and that's what the doctor's saying, that yes, you can have a relative who takes an herbal something and it does achieve a result for them, but that does not science make. That's all she was saying. That doesn't mean it didn't work. That means it does not science make, because that's anecdotal, right? Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Great topic with men. I believe that one of the primary concerns is cost. You have to pay to see the doctor, and if something is a concern, there is a cost. A lot of times, except you can't really argue that when you have the public healthcare system, though. There may be a cost, but it isn't an exorbitant one. And most men really might have a difficulty arguing costs when, listen, let's be real, we spend like all kind of money on bail. And all kind of entertaining of ourselves and eating the way we eat and so forth. And if you put all that money together, you cannot make the argument you can't see a doctor. And how much more is it going to cost if you don't? But I agree with you that cost is a consideration that can make people have a double take on doing what they have to do for themselves medically, because medical costs ain't no joke. It is not a joke, that's for sure. I can tell you when it is a doubly not a joke is when you have to bear it when you don't have a choice. When it gets that worse, when it gets that much worse, when it gets that bad, and now you're looking at surgery, you're facing long-term care, you're facing dialysis and that kind of stuff, well, it can be really, really, really expensive then. So, as they say, prevention is better than cure. And so, to the extent we can, we do what we can. And I have to tell you, listen, I was just telling a friend of mine the other day, and I'm deadly serious with this. Bishop Hall, if you're listening to me, I'm deadly serious about this. Listen to this. You're God. You're Almighty God. You're the all-wise God of the universe, man. Why these healthy things couldn't be and couldn't taste like all the unhealthy things? I mean, think about it, right? Think about it. When we come back from the break, I want you to think about that. We got, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The car?
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Happy Independence, Bahamas! Let's celebrate 50 plus 1 together with a unique Janae's Uniform Center Independence print, dry fit polo or t-shirts, ribbons and pull bows in black, gold, and aquamarine. Janae's special family package includes buy 2 adults and 3 children Independence polos or t-shirts and get 15% off. Outfit your staff for a special Independence dress of week or day with a different design. For more than 30 pieces of Janae's Independence polos or t-shirts, get up to 25% discount. Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road Independence Selections. Choose your favorite and celebrate 50 plus 1. Restrictions apply.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Print My
masters, bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. I'll up if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to give us a call at 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text is, Mr. Nine, good afternoon. Do agree that the medical costs can keep some persons from not going to the doctor or to a specialist. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I also, this is not home, but this is something I was thinking about. So, did y'all watch the, or hear about the Biden-Trump debate, most recent debate, and saw Joe Biden's, President Joe Biden's performance during that debate? And his performance was alarming. It was tough to watch if you are a fan of Joe Biden. If you're not a fan, no doubt you probably were rejoicing or really happy that they didn't work out well for him. Donald Trump was Donald Trump, and so wasn't anything out of the usual for him. Basically, as people say, just more of the same. But Joe Biden's, first of all, the physical frailness he showed just when he showed up to go approach the podium was alarming for people. And then the numerous opportunities, the only numerous occasions on which he struggled to be coherent, struggled to maintain a logical flow with his thoughts, to get his words out in a easy manner, was really unsettling for lots of people, lots of Democrats in particular, you know. So now there is a discussion that's taking place about whether Democrats should seek a new candidate, presidential candidates. And this is interesting for many reasons. One is, for many of y'all people who like to talk about, oh, that's why we need a presidential form of government, because, you know, these parties, we tired of parties. Well, in case you missed it, Donald Trump is the presumptive candidate for the Republican Party. He is not independently running. He is running as the head and choice of the Republican Party. And Mr. President Biden is the presumptive choice of the Democratic Party. So all we need to get rid of parties. Look at the U.S. Yeah, look at the U.S. It's Democrats and Republicans. Democrats and Republicans. It's been Democrats. And we keep switching between these, the F&M and the PLP. Well, when did the United States of America elect an independent president? When did that happen? It's been 300 years of independence. Tell me which one of the years was an independent president elected. You're right. Wasn't in hundreds of years, right? So they keep switching between Democrats and Republicans, just like in the United Kingdom, switching between the liberals and the conservatives. Just like in other parts of the world, switching between one party. Next, all of us are stupid alike. We keep going between these two parties, all of us. So Anyways, so I point that out. And then I point it out because politics can present you with such conundrums. When you have an unpopular party leader, it becomes easy to say, dump him, dump her. They're unpopular. Dump him, dump her. And if you have an unlikable leader, it's easy to say, dump him, dump her. Look at them. People don't like them. Dump him, dump her. Joe Biden is kind of like a conundrum, right? He is not disliked by his party. In fact, he's quite loved by his party. There's a great deal of affection that they have for him, not merely because since he became president, for years and years and years, because of his story, because of his way of life, because of the way he conducted himself for many, many, many years. Oh, he's not perfect. Yes, he has issues. Yes, he had issues. He's always been one of those persons who, when he's speaking, could run into some, you know, challenges. But he's well liked. But he has a challenge that is causing persons in his party to think, even though we love you, Joe, even though we really care, we don't know if you are the one to take us through. We don't know if you're the person who's going to beat Donald Trump. We don't know. And this is where politics becomes so heart-wrenching sometimes, where your emotions have to be reconciled with your reasoning. And you try to make decisions. What is likely to happen? I don't know. I don't know whether he's going to be replaced or not. But I can tell you, watching him perform on that stage was rather startling, for sure. He knows it. They know it. They all know it. Oh, if you're a Trump fan and you're a Republican fan and, you know, you gloat and so forth. I understand that. That's politics. When Donald Trump messes up, the Democrats and the liberals and them, they all, oh, look at that fool, or look at that. Yeah, I know. I don't come down on people who look at Mr. Biden's struggle and go, from a political point of view, yeah, see, this is what we've been telling y'all all along. But I am zooming in on the ticklish nature of the question now presented to the Republican, to the Democratic Party, about what to do with a person you like who may not be fit for purpose. Because that could happen. In your workplace, this could happen. You could like a person as an employee, but they may not be fit for purpose. You could like a member of your team. Great basketball player in many ways, but not fit for the purpose of this team. But you like him. And that I find, I could see that struggle. I think one of the persons who probably expressed that angst more as well as could be expressed was Joe Scarborough, who talked about Biden's performance as president, who talked about his likability, et cetera, but who acknowledged that, like Donald Trump, where the question was being put, is he fit for purpose? The question had to be put about President Biden. Why should we be concerned, or we should have any interest? We always have an interest in what happens in the United States of America, because the United States of America has a great deal of influence over the affairs of this country. It is a place where socially we connect with on a regular basis. It is a place where politically we connect with on a regular basis, where economically we connect with on a regular basis. There is no ignoring the events and affairs of the United States of America. We can't do anything about anything. We certainly could take note, because if we take note and see the thing heading in that direction, it might tell you, bob or weave, bob or weave, duck or jump. Tech says most every country has some form of party politics, in some case, two-party politics. Most countries, actually, my friend, most. This tech says, Mr. Lang, Biden is 140 years old. Why are people alarmed? He's doing good for a person who's 140 He's not 140 miles. As a matter of fact, I think he's 80 something. Like, he, you know, mind you, listen to me. There are many 80 somethings who are quite vibrant, quite lucid, you know, quite dynamic. So aging isn't something, aging is something that all of us will do, but it doesn't happen the same way to everybody. It does matter how you take care of yourself when you're younger. It does matter what your genetic predisposition or makeup is. It does matter how you eat. It does matter your level of activity. All these things matter to how you age, you know. You know, they say that as you get older, you should do the kinds of exercises that represent, not, you know how people like to walk, like they'll walk long distances or they'll jog. They say you should do those kinds of exercises where you do short, intense bursts of something and then stop. So you could do like 30 seconds hard ride on a bicycle, 60 seconds, 90 seconds of rest time, then another 30 seconds riding that hard, and then another 90 seconds chilling a little bit, and do that about 4 or 5 times, you know, 3 times a week. Which I do. And they say that's supposed to help with aging and so forth. So it depends. You know, everybody doesn't age the same. You know, my grandfather died when he was 90-something, and he was in his 80s, as far as I remember him driving that truck, moving up and down, you know, picking up donors and bringing them over. He was quite a vibrant person. So how this matter is going to play itself out, we don't know. We've seen in our own politics where party leaders become unpopular and folk want to dump them, right? We've seen that. We've seen votes of no confidence. We've seen that happen, but in many instances like that, like, the party leader is not liked by the members or some of the members or many of the members. Joe Biden is a liked person, but likability cannot in and of itself save you sometimes in politics. Because at the end of the day, whatever people tell you, political parties want to win the government. They exist to win the government. That's it. They do not exist to help you achieve your ambition. They do not, personal ambition, they do not exist to help some of your cronies achieve their personal ambitions. Political parties exist to provide a vehicle to govern the country. That's it. And so, what does a leader do? What does the leadership of a party do? Build an organization fit to govern country. Hear me? Oh, I know. Listen, I know that name, but that's not what becomes the central frame around political parties often. I know that that's not. Man, no kind of ego and ambition and we just want to get rid of them people so that maybe we can get a in and you know, so forth and so forth. A lot of times they say that might be some of but the political parties exist to win the government and to govern. And so the primary activities around the party is to make it fit for purpose, fit to govern the country. That means finding talent that is capable of winning government and governing well. Are you hearing me? not finding talent who everybody knew for many years. And oh, they pay their dues. And child, you know, that's one, this one son and son and grandson. And oh, there's a child, there's a stalwart, or a meritorious. Those all have value in somebody's loyalty to a cause. But the party has to take that and other things into consideration, principle among which is, can I find talent? Can I find resources capable of winning the government and governing well? Right? And so you look for talent in that way. By the way, somebody sent me a video presentation that Latre Raming was making. He was talking about the Free National Movement's performance in Freeport and Grandmama being FNM country, and how, notwithstanding the FNM indictment for Grandmama, that people were granted, but he said a lot of stuff, which was from a partisan political point of view, you know, his case. And so it could be readily refuted, but it was a case. But you know what stood out to me? Latre Raming is a very articulate young man. He is a gifted speaker. He really is. And I really wondered why he was not a candidate himself, because he is a very gifted speaker. Maybe he has no interest, but very gifted, his thoughts, very organized, really capable of presenting his thoughts and so forth, at least on the occasion that I saw. And so I didn't realize it was him actually at first. But very gifted. And I love to see that in young people. I don't, this is no matter to me, you FNM, PLP, or DNA or so forth. I love to see gifted, skillful, talented Bahamians. Young, old, particularly young, because, you know, I'd love to see it. Now, of course, you know, when you present an argument in the case, you want to make sure, to the extent possible, that they can't, that case cannot be easily refuted. But I could tell you he was cogent and represented himself and his party well. Well, so y'all can tell him I said so, if he ain't listening today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to See Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Are you ready to elevate your day with a burst of flavor? Look no further than Dunkin', your ultimate destination for everything delicious. From our freshly brewed coffee that is sure to pick you up, to our signature frozen beverages that will cool you down. And don't forget our mouth-watering sandwiches made to order all day. Dunkin' has it all. And of course, our lineup of fresh donuts, muffins, and more. Dive into a world of yummy flavors at Dunkin' and bring joy to your day. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Are you seeking exceptional health care beyond the traditional hospital setting? Introducing Doctors Hospital Clinics, your trusted destination for comprehensive care. Our full-service locations provide affordable services through our Loyalty Advantage membership program and NHI. Experience seamless care with our integrated health system, where your medical history travels with you, ensuring continuity of care. Book an appointment today at clinics.doctorshosp.com. We make primary care easy.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon for these remaining moments of the show. This text says, Biden was just Biden as well. This has been going on for years. That's not true. That's not true. You have to talk to somebody who didn't frequently watch Joe Biden. So you can't say them kind of names to people who Joe Biden makes faux pas. So does Donald Trump. That performance that happened the other day, you cannot honestly and factually say was a regular thing with Joe Biden. You cannot say that. You know, especially saying it for many years. Not so. Absolutely not. So why do you think people were so stunned and shocked? Because that's not what they normally see. Yes, they see him fumble over words from time to time. They see him, misspeak something, et cetera. But not what happened the other day. So don't give me that. I mean, you sound like you're a Trump person. You thought I was coming down on Trump and I said Trump is Trump. He was Trump. He was. I didn't say anything else. I didn't say anything negative. That's like if you say Shivago being Shivago, why would I take that as an insult? I hope I'm Shivago. Who else would I be? I'd be running around being who? I meant him no insult to say he was being Donald Trump, and that's what people saw. They saw him being pretty much the person they know him to be. But Biden, struggling to form words, struggling to make a coherent sentence, struggling to connect points. Not Joe Biden on no regular basis, man. So stop that. As they say, we shall see what we shall see. The Chamber of Commerce is applauding the Prime Minister for making the right choice to intervene in the task force situation. And I have to agree that it was a good choice by the Prime Minister to do so. It probably won't be further discussed, not by them, but there still are questions outstanding about how that all evolved. But anyway, if we get it fixed, and I think that'll be sufficient for many, many people who weren't quite sure how this was gonna turn out. I saw an article resurfacing about the IFC, the International Finance Corporation, which is a subset of the World Bank Group, which kind of deals with the private sector, financial matters and stuff like that. This article was surfacing about the IMF's call for the Bahamas to implement income tax and implement corporate tax and implement inheritance tax and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It made me want to go back to a point I made the other day, because now this is circulating as a discussion in some chat groups and some groups and stuff like that, because I just do not get it. I really don't get it. I do not understand how we could have robust discussions about taxation in the absence of robust discussions about how to help the Bahamian economy perform much better. Not just better, but much better. What's your taxing? what you're taxing. All this talk about tax, income tax, this and tax that. Why? But the discussion needs to be robust discussion, deep discussion. How can we cause the Bahamian economy to really perform better, to have less of this start and stop and start and stop, up and down, contract, expand, every year, one, two different things. No sustainable upward trajectory over any period of time. That's the discussion. That's what we need ideas for. Right? And let's be clear on something. People say, oh, we need to create this economy. We need it. First of all, economy is as natural as human existence. The extent to which human beings have needs and wants that get supplied either by nature or by others is what creates economy. Because economy is nothing more than the production, distribution, and consumption of goods and services by human beings. Now, however they find to do that, whether they do that as nomadic creatures, or they do that as hunter-gatherers, or they do that as villagers, or they do that as city dwellers, it only represents a sophistication of economy, which is a natural part of human existence. And nobody creates it. You can expand it, you can alter it, you can make it, in quote, more sophisticated, more complex, more simple, but you're not creating economy as such. Economy is part of human life and human existence. And really, what is required in the context of the Bahamas, as speaking about ourselves, is to ask ourselves, and I'm talking about individually and then collectively, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing with the resources we have, the resources in ourselves, the resources in our land, the resources in our technology, the resources in our skillfulness, in our education, in our knowledge, the resources in our natural resources to the extent they exist? What are we doing now and what can we do better? That's an individual enterprise question. That's a collective enterprise question. That is a countrywide question. And that's a question being asked, not at some macro nebulous level, because ain't nobody controlling this economy. Nobody. I know y'all think the white man got it, or the Bay Street Boys got it, or the few black elites got it. Nobody controlling the economy. People are pursuing their interests, and they are able in the process of doing so, some to operate microly, some to operate in small ways, some to operate in medium ways, and some to operate in large ways. Some do it with some facilitation by the government. Some do it out of their own ingenuity and creativity. Some do it through their connections with international enterprises, etc. And then the outgrowth of all of that is what we come to call the Bahamian economy. But that is the thing that we should be focused upon. That's the thing that really is going to alter the circumstances of our lives. Not how we tax. Now that's the question. People unemployed in the thousands, and taxing is the question. You want to come and get taxing, right? Taxing? I'd say, listen, hold the taxing at bay. Focus your attention at economy, at economic expansion and growth and development for a time. But taxing? That's what bureaucrats do who do not understand or do not appreciate what's happening in the real world. you focus on taxing, because that's your job. And so I expect you to focus on taxing. It's Texas. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. That was a stunt, Uncle Joe and company pulled what? Watch the debate in September. They are going to say he's on drugs. Okay. You might be right. I'd be shocked. You know, if he pull off another one of them in September. Boy. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God spares life. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.